Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, the clocks are going back, which means the evenings are darker earlier, the mornings a little brighter. We'll all enjoy that extra hour in bed in the morning. But we actually know what's going on. The little ones do not. So they may still follow the patterns of summertime sleep. To help navigate the change, I'm joined by Lucy Wolfe, sleep expert and author of the Baby Sleep Solution books. Lucy, good morning and welcome.
Thank you very much.
So is it troublesome, this hour?
Just in general, clocks going back, clocks going forward challenges the internal body clock. And I suppose for young children that, you know, when they have a high sleep need and they have a nap need until maybe three or so, then obviously it can become a little bit more complicated. The challenge with this particular time change when the clocks go back, if you have a child who's waking at 6 a.m., that becomes 5 a.m. If you have a child who's waking at 5 a.m., which is a very predominant issue among the young cohort, then that 5 potentially becomes 4 a.m. So it becomes troublesome to parents, the thought of it and both the lived reality of it as well next week.
So do you start training them now?
Well, you could do a few things. And I guess I do always like parents to have a few options and mostly not to be terribly worried, although we're aware of it. You know, it'll rattle itself out as next week unfolds. Like the first thing is, if your child already is on a fairly fixed schedule, fixed time, fixed bedtime, fixed naps, is relatively adaptable, just do nothing. You know, just move it out and just fly by the seat of your pants next week. But if you're a little bit more concerned, one thing you absolutely could do is from Wednesday of this week is move everything out by 15 minutes later. That means trying to move everything, the naps, the bedtime, the meal times, in the hope that by the time we wake up on Sunday morning, you match the new time. But my preferred option, if I'm totally honest with you, Pat, is to sort of wait until Sunday morning and float halfway between the old time and the new time in an effort to be no worse off than you were by the end of next week.
Now, some of the questions coming in: our month old only naps for 30 minutes during the day, very resistant to getting into her cot. First sleep in cot at night is 3 hours, and then after that it's awake every 1 to 2 hours and won't sleep in a cot. Only solution is to bring her into the bed to sleep. She is breastfed and feeds to sleep. What can we do to get her to sleep in her cot? Only 1 month old seems a bit premature.
Well, you see, I suppose the problem here is that the baby is representing typical infant sleep, but it's a very tough adjustment for parents when they're now confronted by a baby who has these high needs of care, and it is then the sleep is fractured in the way that it is. The baby is behaving fairly typically is the first thing, which isn't that helpful, except what the parents could begin to do is just begin to have a level of flexibility, start to get to know the baby in terms of their sleep cues early, brief eye rubs, brief yawns, moments of quiet. I sometimes like to anchor the start of the day, get up, get out of the bedroom, expose baby to bright and natural light.
Does it surprise you that a month old baby only sleeps for 30 minutes during the day?
It doesn't surprise me as a practitioner. And again, everything's very immature at this point in time, the circadian rhythm, you know, their sleep structure and their need to be held, to suck and to, you know, have the parent very close by is all very typical. Now, this isn't to undermine how this feels to the family. I would put some of my sleep shaping measures in play, like the regular wake time, like beginning to look at the language of sleep.
Okay, the person has just texted in again. Texted month old, in fact 5 months old.
Okay.
That makes it a lot more sense to me, I have to say.
Well, that's good. And also the information that we've just discussed is totally relevant to all the 4 and 5 and 6 months aid. By 3 months onwards, sleep is becoming a little bit more organised. And parents at 5 months plus now, she could start to do other adjustments and changes. Like what's been happening here is that baby is, their sleep is determined by their circadian rhythm, by the sleep pressure that builds up. I try and get a rhythm going between the feeding and the sleeping to regulate. Like if you think about, you know, our bodies, they benefit from being regulated. connected. We use light and we use dark. We use rituals of care and routine to underpin the relationships that are unfolding. By 5 months of age, someone who's resisting sleep, they're probably in a little bit of a cycle of fatigue, overtiredness. And I try to help undo that.
Now, here's the nightmare for people. Our son always slept through the night unless he was sick. He's now 28 months, so he's 2 years and 4 months, and waking up at 2 a.m. crying and looking for me. Is it just for comfort? Is it a regression? He likes me to stay by the cot as he falls asleep, but phasing this out most nights and standing outside the door until he nods off.
I know. Sleep is, it's a real process of development, and it's bound by so many factors, and emotions is one of them, you know. And I suppose at age two, when they're really beginning to separate themselves from you, they also have all the skills that are emerging and developing, and sleep sometimes takes a hit. And unfortunately, when sleep takes a hit, they become a bit overtired, and then the overtiredness continues the issues, if that makes any sense. So the first thing is, don't create the cycle of tension here. Bring forward the bedtime to dilute the fatigue, the overtiredness that is in his system from having been a reliable sleeper to now being an unreliable sleeper, and support him. Like, go and be beside the cot side, both at bedtime, in the overnight, when he is processing this, so that he is feeling connected to you, the parent.
Now, explain to me, because you've mentioned this before on the programme, why being overtired means less inclined to sleep.
I know. So when the body, the young body, becomes overtired or experiences fatigue, it has a chemical response, a stress response, for want of a better description. Cortisol and adrenaline go into the system, and basically has two main functions. It can make it hard for them to go to sleep, which is why we often hear about resistance and fighting sleep. And similarly, it can make it hard for them to maintain sleep. Now, it's not the only, you know, contributory factor, but it's a predominant one.
So is it that the child has been, you know, getting tired or more tired, not time for bed, but in order to stay awake has to kind of stimulate itself?
Yeah, like it is a response to that. And I suppose if you think about the adrenaline secretion, that is a fight or flight response. And I suppose that plays out in a resistance. And at this age, of course, at 2 years and 4 months of age, also verbally becoming more aware, more cause and effect becoming more predominant. And of course, life is very busy. And what we sometimes are missing is that connection as well, to promote the separation that occurs around bedtime. And I guess I do put a lot of emphasis on timing, the circadian sleep rhythm, and the avoidance of being overtired.
Now, this one, if you're a good sleeper as a baby, do you continue to be a good sleeper as an adult? Is
there
any
it's
link?
Interesting, because I suppose the research that we see is, you know, demonstrates that people who struggle with sleep, children that struggle with sleep, that can continue into adulthood. So we would like to think that the reverse is also true. And I suppose I don't ever really want people overly worried. What I really want is people to be open and curious about what adjustments and changes could they make to help themselves and their children to sleep better.
Now, this is interesting, and I'm not sure of what's happening in Spain. We're flying to Spain Saturday evening, arriving at 8:30 local time. Our 2.5-year-old typically goes down at 7 o'clock every night. Am I right in thinking that with the hour going back, I should be okay, as it will compensate for the time difference?
Well, you see, there's two parts to that.
Is Spain travel changing as well?
Well, I don't know the answer to that question, but travel in its own self causes some disruption. You know, the daytime sleep is sometimes a little bit off. They are overstimulated. Sometimes we get a little bit dehydrated when we travel. But I suppose the most important piece of guidance I would always give when we go to a different country is I go straight into local time the next morning. So, you know, and I always have an anchor point of beyond 7:30 a.m. I get up and start the day.
You see, Spain is proposing an end to European clocks changing. Our difficulty is on the island of Ireland. If Britain doesn't change, then we have two time zones going Belfast. You put the clock one way or the other, and so on and so forth. Very difficult.
Very difficult.
And on right up at the border with Derry and so on. My goodness. Now, they do it in Spain and Portugal because there's an hour difference. So it works for them. There's another one. Do you ever agree with letting your baby or child sleep in the same bed, as parents want to stop all this getting up throughout the week? Both parents going to work and all of that.
Absolutely. And I think that's important to mention, is that, you know, it's about supporting parents to prioritize sleep in a way that feels right for them. You know, the health agenda doesn't support bed sharing, but we know that, well, first of all, we've been doing bed sharing for a long time. So the priority would be that we firstly do it safely.
Time-wise, there was only one bed.
Exactly. And I suppose we've seen that cultural and societal change. And I suppose expectations all feed into this. But I support parents to practice their sleep. Safely, we're always going to privilege and practice that, and be in a way that feels right for them. So absolutely, if bed sharing and room sharing achieves and maintains more sleep for everybody.
But would you have an age cutoff point where you say, no, it's not appropriate for a child to be in the bed?
I definitely don't. And I think each family kind of operates in its own right. And there's two parts to that, Pat. Like, I work with families up to the age of six, give or take. Now, a lot of the parents that I work with are looking to stimulate a more independent style of sleep, a more solitary style of sleep. But that's not to say I don't see parents as well who are bed sharing and want to keep that going. Normally what we see is children either opting to stop the bed sharing themselves as they get older, or parents stimulating that in a very organic way themselves.
My 16-month wakes up for a bottle six times every night for a bottle, screams for hours when just trying, just to offer water and no bottle. What should we do? Naps for 2 hours during the day, not a problem.
Yeah, so I suppose what it sounds like is that there's an association between returning to sleep and needing a sucking mechanism to do so. This generally is born around bedtime. So if a child is, let's say, sucking to get to sleep, what we sometimes see is that they want and need to suck back to sleep as they transition through their natural sleep phases in the overnight period. And this child demonstrates that perfectly. They're transitioning through their light and their deep sleep. They're having arousals and they're needing a bottle of sucking to get back to sleep.
What about a dodie?
Well, replacing it with water, firstly, is only going to continue to promote the sucking association. And what I would probably begin to look at here is seeing if there is a bottle at bedtime, and maybe making a little bit of distance between the bottle and bedtime itself. So I can do this in one of two ways. I can do it at the start of the bedtime routine, or I can do it completely outside of the bedtime routine. And then we can look at helping that baby child begin to return to sleep without the sucking association.
Just to confirm, Spain is changing its clocks, okay, just like we are, so people can make their own calculations. Finally, your books are still in print. They're everywhere.
Yes, thank goodness.
And your website?
Yes, exactly. So both books, the green one we say is for the reader, the blue one is for the non-reader. So that's how we differentiate them. And my website is sleepmatters.ie.
Lucy Wolfe, thank you very much for joining us. And that's all we've time for on today's programme. Don't forget, our items from today are uploaded as podcasts, which you can listen to on the Newsdog app. By Gola, just search for The Pat Kenny Show.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.